podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 74 of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is July 6th. July 6th. Somebody changed that back, I swear.
July 6th.
Oh, I changed it on indeed. The other thing. July 6th, 2017 from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is, well, none other than Rush. Hi, Rush.
Hey, we're down a host if you have not noticed it, but that's okay because that means John and I get to fill Jimmy's parts with super amazing jokes because we're the best. So I'm excited to get into the show this week. We have a lot of exciting stuff today with the newest release on Overwatch to get into. So I am ready to give our thoughts and our predictions going forward with Overwatch.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this week. And man, I don't even know how we're going to get through it all, but we're going to try our best to, no matter what. But before we do, in typical payload fashion, let's talk about our weeks in Overwatch. Rosh, what have you been up to?
I've been having fun playing Overwatch for the first time in a few seasons. So far, I have yet to play on my main. I'm not sure if I'm going to finish my placements on my main or not. I don't want to, but at the same time, I don't want to miss out on the 3,000 competitive points for a golden weapon because I feel like I'm going to really regret that next season when I have one less weapon than I should have. But I just don't want to deal with super stressful games. I just want to have fun, play with viewers, enjoy ranked, not have to worry about like super tryhard dive meta and like the top of the... It's just, I've been having fun playing Overwatch this last week and it's been great. I've been able to play with a lot of viewers. We were playing... yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I think that was yesterday. Yeah. You, me, and Ferment were trio queuing, and normally I don't trio queue, and I had a lot of fun doing that. So it's been really fun for me this season doing stuff that I normally wouldn't do. So I hope that we get to do that some more. I know we were talking about it when you were streaming earlier. So I hope that we get to play together as a trio some more because I had a lot of fun. I'm not sure if you hated it or not, but I enjoyed it a lot. So
I love
I'm excited to do that.
I love getting carried by you and Ferment. So I'm all about it. Yeah.
I think there was actually a Gibraltar match last night where I was like just watching the kill feed and I was like, all right, there goes Dawn on Zarya. All right, or not Zarya, Zenyatta. Okay, there he goes on Zenyatta again. All right, there he goes again. Okay, but it was fun. Like it was still like, which is understandable because you got a huge host, et cetera, which you'll get into. But like,
I'm not getting into it. No, I'm not talking about that.
It was still a lot of fun. So that's what I'm talking about. Like, even though maybe not everybody is playing to their like absolute best, it was still a ton of fun. So I'm excited to do it more often.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Now I have to talk about it. I wasn't planning on talking about it. I was just going to say I streamed a lot and it was really great and you should come check it out. But I did. I got hosted yesterday by Tim the Tap Man out of nowhere. I clipped what he said. All he said is, this guy looks pretty fun, and hosted me. Like, that's all he said. So we had over 1,000 people in there for about four hours, and about 3 hours was over 2,500. Like, it was a blast. But yeah. I was so nervous. I was so glad it wasn't on my gold account. Just maybe would have lost
a few
more.
That's a pretty good point.
But it was so freaking cool. No joke, my phone still hasn't deleted all the follow email notifications that I got from that. So that was like really cool to be a part of. But yeah. We kind of stayed about right kind of even at the beginning of kind of diamond, right around 3,100. And of course, dropped to 3,000.
I wasn't sure at the end of the night because I know that we dropped a few games, but I thought that we had, then again, in Overwatch's rating system, even if you have more wins than losses, you're still going to probably end up even, if not below where you started. So, but I felt like we started off really strong. Like we had a lot of good games and then we just had those typical Overwatch games where like nothing works no matter what happens and people are arguing in team chat and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I think we had those typical games, but I think we did pretty well overall for the night.
Yeah, I mean, it was really fun. The problem, this is what ends up happening. So obviously, if you listen to the show, you know I'm mainly a Zarya main. I spend the most amount of time playing Zarya, and I love playing Zarya. And she's like, she's my go-to. And so I spent a lot of time playing that. But for whatever reason, the comps are, it requires me to almost always switch to something else. Like, it's just like, this won't work. And so I switch, and like, I'm not doing awful by any, like, I don't think I'm like awful, but I'm definitely not like carrying and super confident in the hero. Like me on Zen yesterday, like, ooh boy. I did get some sick right clicks off though. I will say I've been playing. Right? I decided this next week, I'm going to pick up Tracer on my gold account and see if I can climb her out. I'm actually 4-0 on Tracer.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I've had two people threaten to report me because my quote unquote, my hit scan looks sketchy and I didn't miss. So
I hate people like that.
I hate them too, but also that is like the best compliment you can get is when people accuse you of aimbotting.
Accuse you of aimbotting when you're not aimbotting. It's just like, I love it. Yeah, now I get that. I can't relate. No one ever accuses me of aimbotting, but.
Mercy, aimbotting, battle mercy. Jeez.
For you, I can see why that would mean a lot. So yeah, that was pretty cool then.
Yeah, so it was just a lot of fun. I had a ton of fun streaming this whole week. Then obviously yesterday was just, I cried last night. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty great. The cool thing is I made that custom transition on my stream.
Yeah, it was like perfect. Maybe that's like why, like you had just made the cool transition. You were debuting it on yesterday's stream and then bam, the host happened. It was literally like perfect timing. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was so much fun, and I couldn't believe it. So, anyways, that's what I've been up to this week in Overwatch. Let's do a little housekeeping really quick. So first, tomorrow night, Rosh, we're doing a game night. Game night number two. We had such a blast with the first one that we were like, we got to schedule this next one really quick.
Like ASAP, yeah.
ASAP, so we did. And it's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/BlizzPro. Tomorrow night, I mean Friday, July 7th. So if you're listening to this live, that's tomorrow. If you're listening to it on Friday, it's tonight. And if you're listening on a Saturday, you missed it. Better luck next time. So that'll be great. We're also raising money for Extra Life. And so our goal right now, because we don't really know, is we're trying to raise $100 by the end of the year. So we'll see if we're able to do that. Hang out with us tomorrow night at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. I believe it will be there.
And with the release of Doomfist and between the last time we had a game night and now, it's also added low gravity matches to your custom games. So John and I and Jimmy, we're going to have to sit down and we are going to have to come up with some amazing ideas. If you have any ideas and you're actually listening to the show live or even tomorrow, feel free to let us know in our Discord. That way we can add it to the custom lobbies, because the first time we did the game night, we didn't really go into it expecting such a great turnout. So we didn't really have that many games planned. But this go around, I think we're going to do some of the original game modes we did, but we're also going to have a lot of fun with this low grabbing Doomfist. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think there are going to be a lot of crazy games that we could put together with Doomfist in it. So make sure to check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. Please come hang out. Make sure to bring some beverages of choice and questionable integrity. How you like that? Make sure to come hang out. Let's go into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
So, Rosh, on Tuesday, I'm making the show notes. And I'm like, this is going to be a little bit of a light show. We're going to be stretching. We didn't really discuss a strategy segment for the week. And lo and behold, Jeff Kaplan says, nah, John, nah, I've got you. Check this out. So Doomfist is on the PTR. Woo! How freaking cool is that? So Doomfist is actually, this is not a joke. It is live on the PTR. I spent about half an hour playing with him. And we're going to get into his whole kit, but I want to tell you a story. Mm-hmm. So I go onto the PTR and we start playing with Doomfist. And no joke, we're on offense on Temple of Anubis. And the whole other team is running Sombras and Pharahs.
Oh,
it was
God.
The dumbest, stupid thing. Trying to play Doomfist, have some fun, and they're all just running the most anti-Doomfist heroes of all time. So that was dumb, but besides that, it was a lot of fun. But we really need to talk about a few things. So first, let's talk about that Origins video for a second, okay? Because holy crap.
If that Origins video, if you haven't watched it, I'm actually linking it in chat for you now. But the Origins video, if that didn't scream, release this as an anime right now, Blizzard, release this as a movie right now, then I don't know what will. Because that short, the Origins video for the Doomfist release today was so good. Between the battle, if you haven't watched it, it's kind of like Doomfist before and after, kind of where you kind of see him without his gauntlet, and then you see him, it kind of flashes back and forth to where he's fighting Winston and Tracer and Gunji, and the whole fight between Doomfist and those three is so cool and so like action-packed. And I mean, how long was the video? Like 6 minutes? It wasn't even long, but it was so full of so much action.
Was it that long? I thought it was like two and a half minutes.
Maybe it was. It just, there was so much that like you saw and you were hyped up from this video that it feels like it was like 5 or 6 minutes. So you're right. It could be 3 minutes, but we've said it here so many times that Blizzard is so good with their storytelling and their lore that I think we kind of all forgot about that when Overwatch is being released. And when it first came out, we weren't thinking, oh, this is going to be a huge like story intensive where we're all into like the art and the videos and the backstories and the action. And then now it's just getting released and it's just constantly hyping us up more and more and more. It was so good.
So for the audio listeners, the style of this video is not the typical Pixar style of the shorts. But it's also not like the moving slideshow style of like the Anna Origins video. It is, I want to say it's kind of like the Transformer cartoons, like anime-y, but not totally anime. I think a little bit more Western style art style, but like that same kind of slow moving a few frames at a time. A short, and it's so freaking cool. Although there is one screenshot of Winston that I think is the funniest thing. I tweeted it out today.
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty funny, but it's just so well done. And like, I want that Pixar style short movie. Yes, I want, you know, 2 hours of that, but give me a 12 episode Netflix series of this style of art. It's so cool.
And I completely agree. I don't think that Blizz will release like maybe they will with as much like raving, as many
you.
Raving reviews that they've gotten from this. But I mean, they did a movie with WoW. I can maybe see them maybe making like a 12 series, because I guess Overwatch kind of is different. The lore for World of Warcraft is so much more immense, and I guess you could put that into a movie. I could see that. But yeah, so maybe with all the different characters and talent and Overwatch, it might make sense to do in a series. But I don't know if I could see Blizzard doing that. Maybe in the future when a lot more of the lore has been released for Overwatch, maybe in a few years, but I don't think it'll be something we can hope for soon.
It might be wishful thinking a little bit, but at the same time, like, there's the Winston face, by the way. You'll see it coming up in a couple seconds, Rush. It's just like, it's such a cool animation style. And Generic Overload says, I'd rather have this anime style Overwatch than the Pixar one. And I totally agree. I totally 100% agree. So a little bit of the backstory about this Origins video. So here's what we know about Doomfist. Number one, he's not voiced by Terry Crews. But the guy who did it is awesome. I should have put the phonetic spelling.
I was gonna say, yeah, have fun trying to
Sarnagauja. is who's done it. He was he's been on Broadway. He was also in The Signal in 2007 and Stomp the Yard in 2007 and Money Monster in 2016, featuring none other than George Clooney and Julia Roberts. Sorry.
Wow.
So there you go. That one I didn't have to look up. I actually just knew that. Money Monster was fun. So here's what we know about Doomfist. Number one, he is one of the council leaders of Talon, along with Reaper, which is a new piece of lore for us. We either assumed or a lot of people inferred that Reaper was the leader of Talon. Turns out Talon has a council of leaders.
Yeah.
The thing that defines him as a leader, his ideology, is that he believes that humans become better or stronger through conflict. So he's all about violence, speed, and momentum. Anyways, sorry, that's a Doctor of Disrespect thing. But anyways, so it's really cool. And the other cool thing in the lore and story, this is kind of spoiler alert-y for that. So fast forward 25 seconds. Winston is the one mostly responsible for putting him behind bars. So he's got kind of a thing against Winston. But that's a little bit about the backstory and the lore they say is going to be coming out even more. About 2 or 3 days ago, we got a blog post about a prison breakout.
Mm-hmm. And that confirmed.
Yeah. In Numbani, it was Reaper. Doomfist escaped. And sure enough, within 48-ish hours, we've got Doomfist here. So, Raj, let's just talk about the reveal for a second. Now, Doomfist has been a topic on people's minds for a long time, especially since Sombra. I think Doomfist was always thought to be the next hero. A lot of people have put a lot of stake in Doomfist being the next hero. Obviously, we got Orisa since then. But how do you think they did with this reveal?
I actually like the way they did it. There has been a lot of people are like, oh, as we're like with Sombra, where it went on for so long and we were waiting. But the difference was with Sombra is that Blizzard was actively dropping Easter eggs and dropping hints on the forums and dropping counters and timers and all of this stuff that everybody was like waiting. And then it was a letdown and then waiting and it was a letdown and waiting and it was a letdown. Whereas Doomfist, people have been talking about it, not necessarily because Blizzard has been dropping hints, but they've just been speculating with it on their own. Like, Terry, this is their own Cruise theory.
Terry Crews, yeah.
With Terry Crews and Overwatch. And yes, Overwatch and Terry Crews did feed into it, but they didn't specifically drop a timer on a hacked webpage that was counting down to what we thought was going to be the Doomfist reveal, just to be another Easter egg that didn't really give us anything. So while the hype has been around for a long time for Doomfist, and we've been waiting for it for a while, I think that Blizzard played to it really, really well and did the release of this. And I actually think that it's more of a shock factor that it was dropped. Like, we had the trailer. We had the trailer about the Numbani attack 2 days ago, 3 days ago. And then, bam, Doomfist is on the PTR today. We wake up today on a Thursday, not a Tuesday. And he's just all of a sudden there. So I actually think they did it really well this time. I think there was a lot more of an factor and a shock factor to them just dropping him randomly without that much like leveling up to it. So I really like how they did it. I don't think they'll do this with all of their characters. I think that there probably will be some hinting at and some story building for future characters. But I like how they seem to switch it up. Like with Sombra, we had a long reveal. With Orisa, we didn't really have a lot. Yeah, and she kind of just came out of nowhere
a little bit.
Like,
about Effie.
Yeah.
We had
the Ilio sketch, where we kind of didn't know if that was for Doomfist or Orisa. And then it was Orisa, which Like, we had no idea they were even planning on doing.
Right.
And then they dropped Doomfist with almost close to nothing. They didn't even drop, it wasn't even a video. It was just a blog post confirming that the attack was Talon and Doomfist. So I like how they're switching it up.
Here's something interesting too, and I might have my history wrong, but I believe that the patch that Orisa dropped in was also the patch that Doomfist Gauntlet was broken out of Numbani. So Blizzard kind of like misdirected there. It was either the patch before or that patch.
Yeah, maybe. Regardless, it was still around that time. Like,
yeah, it was like we got teased, but we've gotten like little breadcrumbs. We learned about Doomfist in the first cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've kind of heard little rumblings about Doomfist. There's a poster about Doomfist, I believe, on Hollywood. And then we get the blog post this week, and then within 2 days there. So it felt like this was actually, even though like he's been teased for 2 years, it also like feels like, I don't feel like I was following a 6 month ARG.
Exactly.
But Orisa at the same time, like Orisa was literally 2 weeks of a couple of blog posts and boom. Done. Here it is. Here's Orisa. And so I think this kind of hit the mark for the right type of teasing. And the Overwatch team definitely didn't overplay or underplay into the community freaking out about Doomfist. So I thought it was great. But I know what you're thinking, chat. You're like, shut up. Start talking about Doomfist and his abilities and what he can do. Fine. Good listener / watcher, we will do such a thing. So first, Doomfist is an offensive hero. Did any of us call that? I thought I said defensive.
I said defensive, yeah.
I think you said attack. I like
that. You might have actually said attack because I would never voluntarily say you were correct, John. But
yeah, careful.
I think that you did say offense, and then I said that he might be more defensive, and I think I kind of maybe leaned you towards the defensive side, but you still wanted to say offensive. So I actually do think that you did call him being offensive.
We'll take it. Good enough for me. So it is an offensive character. He has 250 health, kind of. And that's what we know so far. And he's a 3-star difficulty. Yes. 3-star difficulty. Very important.
And you will understand why he is a 3-star as soon as we finish labeling off all of his abilities.
Yes. So first, I'll take you through the hand cannon. So his hand cannon, not to be confused with the Destiny hand cannon, is... Doomfist fires a short-range burst from the knuckles of his fists. Its ammunition is automatically regenerated over a short time. So it's kind of like, it's almost kind of like a resource system, like a defense matrix. But instead of like a 1% to 100%, it's in fours. So you've got four different shots. It's more like Tracer's blink, the more I think about it, as a resource management, but instead of blinking, it's ammo. And so it's really cool. There's four of them there. Really neat. But this is...
Can you, when you were messing around on him, because I was watching and I wasn't actually paying attention to this, but can you refill his hand cannon? Like if you use two of them, can you... So you have to go through all four of them to... Okay,
interesting. No, other way. So let's say you do two. You do two. As soon as you do one, it starts refilling the next one. So let's just say half a second. So let's say you shoot three and then don't shoot again. Over 1.5 seconds, it'll...
Okay.
Just like Tracer's blank.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's tough. I wanted to spend more time seeing like how specifically how long is that, but this broke today. So I haven't found anything out there yet about that. It's a regeneration system. You're going to find very quickly that the reason why Doomfist is a 3-star hero is because he's only got like 7.5 million cooldowns to manage. Yeah. And that starts with his primary fire. What's going on with Seismic Slam?
Yeah, one of his next of multiple abilities is called Seismic Slam, and the description has it labeled where Doomfist leaps forward and smashes into the ground, knocking nearby enemies toward him. So he jumps through the air, hits the ground, and the enemies actually come closer toward him. It's not a CC. It's not a crowd control. It doesn't stun them. So you can move immediately even as you're getting knocked toward him, but it does put you a step closer toward him, which puts you closer into the range for all of his other attacks. So don't, I was actually watching because at first I was confused. I was like, I can't tell if this actually stuns them for half a second, but it's just the animation of you being moved a step closer towards him. You can't actually move after it, which as we go through more of his abilities, it seems like he doesn't really have a lot of crowd control. Right. You can move through most of his abilities. Just kind of think that when you're trying to figure out in Theorycraft some comps and how to face him and how to play your characters against him when he does do this. I actually don't think that he really has anything other than his uppercut in the air, and which we'll get into in a second. But even then, it doesn't freeze you in the air. You can still move freely. Yep. So
it's kind of like keep getting, that in mind. Yeah, it's kind of like if you ever get hit by like a Zarya's right click, alternate fire, it like can pop you up in the air, but you still have some movement there.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah.
It's pretty cool. And we're not going to go too in depth about the strategy until we talk about everything, because keep this word in mind. Combo. So next we have Rising Uppercut. This reads, Doomfist uppercuts enemies in front of him into the air. And nicely on the Overwatch website, when it shows the animation of him doing the Rising Uppercut, it's on a Hanzo, because that's how I feel every day. So just rising uppercutting the Hanzo. Now the cool thing about this is the height that he gets from this is very similar to Genji's double jump. So he can definitely, sorry. Whoa. Oh, wow. Dang. I've been talking a lot. I streamed for 9 hours yesterday.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, it was kind of nuts. Anyways, it'll basically take him up like an entire story on King's Row. So definitely if you like mobility things, or if you ever watch Rosh stream, she does something really cool as a Mercy where she jumps off the edge, floats, and then hopefully shifts back to a teammate. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, but
I was waiting for it. I can vault bridge. I was waiting for it.
I can vault bridge. Ilios, good old Thule coming to your rescue.
Any time to throw me under the bus, that's okay. It's like Genji's double dash anyway.
Yeah, so you can kind of like jump off and jump back up. You can go. It's a really great mobility type of movement, but it's also a damage dealing movement that also moves yourself and whoever is in melee range up a considerable amount. So not really crowd control, but kind of crowd control. Rosh, what's next?
What is next? He has, after the uppercut, he has his rocket punch, which after charging up, Doomfist lunges forward and knocks an enemy back, dealing additional damage if they impact a wall. And the easiest way I can explain this is it's like the Widow's charge up when she scopes. It gives you a second to charge up to full impact, but if you just shoot it off without being charged, it still does damage. Obviously, the more you charge it up, the more damage it does. And the one big thing with this ability is it plays around walls. So not only is it just the ability where you charge into a situation, you really want to watch your positioning and the enemy team's position and know where they are, because if you knock them into a wall, it does an insane amount of additional damage. I'm not sure the math. I'm sure there's a Reddit thread out there. Again, the character just came out, so there hasn't been a lot of posts on it so far. I know a lot of people are out there experimenting, but I think you can one shot, I think what I read was you can one shot most 200 HP characters when you hit them against a wall. So this, I think, is going to really change the way that you position yourself and what characters you're playing and how you're working the walls and angles. Because I know at least as a Mercy, you're really working LOS of angles because your beam stays connected to the target even if you're out of LOS. So you're constantly using walls to connect your beams to get them in line of sight and then to duck out so a soldier can't shoot you or whatnot. So you're really going to have to pay attention to where you're positioning yourself as a hero. I also think, and we'll get a little more to this after we finish going over the abilities. I know we're not done yet. That's how many he has. I think that this will really, really give a bonus to characters that are in the air, i.e. Pharah and i.e. Mercy. So that will be interesting to see how it plays that because the Pharah is almost never against a wall. So it'll be really, really interesting to craft up some ideas about where the meta is going to go and how it's going to affect it. But I think this is probably one of his scarier abilities, is this rocket punch. It speeds you up basically when you charge it. You rush into battle. It's like you're charging into battle, like a Reinhardt's charge.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a Reinhardt's charge. So it's super mobile. You get a lot of mobility from this. But also if you hit someone in it, it does a lot of damage. So I think this is one of his scarier abilities. And it's definitely something that you're going to have to pay attention to cooldown wise when you see him use it.
So here's something I just realized this, and I know there are people are going to be like, how long are the cooldowns on these abilities? And so thankfully, I found something. So assuming this is correct, the hand cannon reloads 0.7 seconds per bullet. The seismic slam is 7 seconds. The rising uppercut is 7 seconds. And rocket punch is 4 seconds.
Which makes it even scarier.
That's scary yes. Because rocket punch is by far, at least what we've seen today on streams and on the PTR, the most devastating ability that there is. Goodbye, Bastion, in most cases, unless he shoots you all the way up there. But like it's pretty brutal. And it introduces, I guess you could call it like environmental damage based on impact. Reinhardt's charge kind of does that. But like the video, what we have on the video itself is he's charging in, stopping short of the wall, doing initial damage, and then the Bastion takes additional damage after it hits the wall. So it's a little bit more, and it also takes damage too against other heroes. And if you knock heroes into other heroes and they get knocked into walls, it's a game of pool. And so that's pretty cool as well. So that's the one thing that's kind of interesting about this character. Not the one thing, but it's one of the things that's really interesting about what they're introducing with Doomfist. Now, before we go any further, there's something important to talk about. And you notice earlier I said he's 250 health, kind of. Mm-hmm. Well, this is why. Doomfist has a passive ability called the Best Defense. And what it reads is Doomfist generates temporary personal shields when he does ability damage. So usually these are in the range of like 30, I find 30 health. It's plus 30 barriers per enemy hit with any of the three major abilities that we just talked about, and 75 barriers per enemy hit with ultimate ability maximum of 150. And how it works is 1 second delay, but then minus 3 barriers per second. So it's kind of like, it looks very similar to what a Lucio ult looks like after he sound barriers. And yeah, so keep in mind that passive ability is going on the entire time. Rosh, tell us about his ultimate.
Can I not? Can we just act like this ultimate doesn't exist? Because I've seen this ultimate in play on really good people streaming it, and it's downright scary. I was saying how scary Rocket Punch was earlier, but this ultimate is called Meteor Strike, and essentially Doomfist leaps into the sky, then crashes to the ground, dealing significant damage. That does not sound scary until you get into actually watching how his ultimate works. Basically, you press Q, Doomfist leaps up into the air, and what you see as the Doomfist player is a blue circle where it has an inner circle and an outer circle. And basically the inner circle, anybody in that radius is just instantly dead if you land on them. On the outer circle, you aren't dead, but there's a massive amount of damage done and it knocks you down. So that's not even the scary part. What happens there is when you ultimate as Doomfist, you see the inner circle and the outer circle in blue. It gives you an option to right click to scroll out, and it gives you a wider overview of a bird's eye perspective on the map. So you can see on other sides of walls, you can see at certain angles what's going on inside rooms that you wouldn't be able to see from the first person that's normally given to you to any other ultimate ulting character. So you really get this really unique perspective, and then you're able to move his ult. It doesn't matter if you ult at point A and then that's where you have to land. That doesn't do it. You can actually move the circle in a radius. And I'm not sure the actual meter or footage of the said radius, but it's
approximately
pretty,
7 meters. Seven is the magic number here.
Well, I don't... 7 meters for the radius of the circles?
The big circle.
Well, I'm talking about when you ult as Doomfist, you can move the selection of the area that the circle's in.
Yep, the area of effect is 7 meters. So I'm assuming that's diameter.
I feel like it's a lot longer than 7 meters, unless this was a bug, because I was watching Siegel's stream and he was on point B of Volskaya. He ulted on the point and he went almost to the bridge where you normally set up a Torb Turret or Ana for defending point A.
Oh, how far you can move?
Yeah. How far you can move.
I have no idea how long you can keep that going.
It's from point B. I have no idea how long the distance is. Again, there's not been enough time between the podcast and this.
Right?
I think it is. It would make sense that it's time-based.
That also keeps you, you're, as far as I can tell, you're invulnerable during that time, right?
But you don't
contest at any point.
But
so it's not like like invisible as Sombra or something.
From what I've seen, you can ult outside of the spawn point if you're attacking point A on Volskaya, and you can shift the ult. Again, you're invulnerable while you're ulting, as far as we know. You can move your circle, the ult radius of his Q, to point A, to the people on point A of Volskaya, and you can ult it there. So, and you can place it there. So, of course, you land there after you ult. So it's not like you just do this ult and then you disappear back to where you spawned the Q you originally ulted. But its distance that it's able to cover seems insane. And I do not know how this goes to live like that. I gotta say it now. I cannot see whatever, if it's a time-based system on how long you have to position your circle or if it's distance. I think it needs to be changed, because right now the mobility on his ult is insane. You can be a Mercy hiding on point A and the Doomfist can be at the spawn and he can ult you from there. And I think that's a little ridiculous, because again, he's invulnerable while he's setting up this ult. What other character do you know can set up an ult and be invulnerable? I just don't see this working out.
Sure. So something to say, and again, details are still coming in. Sounds like it's a 6 second ult. So 6 second channel.
So however
before
far you can move
it. Before you hit your left click and say, okay, it's time to do this. 6 seconds. I would say the speed, I would compare the speed when you're in that form of like overlooking the map. I would say the speed is similar to like a Zenyatta ult. Does that seem pretty
that
fair?
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
that
maybe a touch bit faster. It's
fast.
The thing
with this ult, though, is because of its bird's eye perspective, you don't have to go around objects. You can kind of just, like, the way the circle goes, you can just go over walls, because it's like you're flying over everything because you're in the air.
You can go over rooms that you can go on top of.
Yeah,
but you
exactly.
can't go
yeah,
over
you can't
buildings.
Go through wall. Yeah. So
yeah,
it you don't have to like sense. The 6 seconds of moving it, you don't have to move it around the pathway of the map.
As
you
long as the
it,
character
like,
can get on top of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. You can move it. So in that regard, I think it's a little different than the Zenyatta, but the speed does seem about it. Again, we don't have numbers. I don't think it's even out on Reddit. I don't know if there's been any experiments or anything like that, but it seems to be about the speed of a Zenyatta ulting.
Yeah. And the other thing is it sounds like some people are saying in chat that you can contest a point. That was not my experience, but I can't speak to more than two times that I was trying to contest a point with an alt. It felt like it didn't work. So we will see from there, but just something to keep in mind. If you can, I will tell you, I will bet you right now that it changes. Because like it's one thing for a Sombra to be invisible and you have to shoot some bullets around to get there. It's another thing. But then again, Zen can do it.
Yeah.
Then again, Zen, but at the same time, when he's finished, he doesn't come down and do a bunch of stupid damage either.
Someone also asked in chat, generic asking chat, what happens if you try to go over a fall, like the well in Ilios? I don't know. I actually haven't seen that. I can't imagine unless you actually land the ultimate in the well that you'll fall, because I think the mechanics have him leaping into the air. And if he's in the air over the wall, the well, unless you land the ultimate there, I don't think that makes him just fall. It would make no sense. One thing that a lot of people, I think Jamerson was actually trying it in custom games, so I'm not sure if you saw after you hosted him, but I think he was getting some custom games lobbies to test like rocket punch over the Ilios well, rocket punch over ledges to see if the rocket punch's momentum takes you over the well, or if you just kind of downfall into the well as you're going through. So I think there's still a lot of experiments out there happening, and we'll probably have a lot more info on Reddit threads to talk about next week with all of these amazing people who sit out there and do nothing but experiment with every single combo. But as of right now, I don't know. I don't know. My guess is he'd probably make it over the ledge if he did that, but I'm not sure.
I think if a Reinhardt charged
over the well in Ilios, I think he'd fall. So maybe that would actually apply for the same for Doomfist. So I don't know. It'll be really interesting. I'm going to stay really, apprehensive about where this goes on the PTR. One thing that I want to say is, judging by the video, I think this is really cool. If you haven't watched the video, Doomfist is fighting Tracer, Genji, and Winston, which I think is really fun. I don't think this was intentional on Blizzard's part, but I think those are going to be a couple of his counters. I think that Genji and Tracer are going to be good counters for him, as well as I think Sombra is too. So I thought that it was pretty funny that they kind of, the characters that seem to be the most meta right now just happen to be in the video facing Doomfist. So I also think that the way that he'll work in meta is, if you were hoping for Doomfist to shake up the dev comp, I don't think that's going to work. I think he's going to fit right into the dive comp. So I think it's going to make it a little more prominent, if that's even possible to be more prominent than it was.
I disagree.
Really?
Yep.
Why? I feel like he's a lot like a bigger Genji.
There's still only six heroes on a team. Genji has more than just a little bit of a range. He doesn't have 7-second cooldowns on what allows him to climb things and escape. Now he can, Doomfist charge can go through like a Reinhardt shield and stuff like that. So it does go through shields.
I think that you could replace a Tracer with him.
I think you could. I think people would try to replace a Genji, but not a Tracer.
Yeah, maybe.
But you know, again, it's tough, right? But like at the end of the day, I think what best counters these Doomfist characters. And honestly, even though he can like hit through a Reinhardt shield, like, you know, the fact that you've got like these big, I can see big shields, I can see Orisas and stuff that can kind of rip apart this a little bit.
I just
feel
like his mobility is too much for that, because I feel like he's a bigger Genji, and Reinhardts don't counter Genjis. And so why would a Reinhardt counter a Doomfist? There are other,
Doomfist can't do meaningful damage outside of like Reaper range.
You're right. I just feel like he has enough mobility. I just feel like he has so much mobility with his combos that even though his range is relatively short, he can close distant gaps really fast, and it makes up for his range of damage being short. So it'll be, 7 second and 4 second. The rocket punch is on a 4 second cooldown. He can get to a target incredibly fast. So I don't know. I think that he'll be super divey. I think that it will complement the divey comp. And this has been in development forever. Blizzard has been developing Doomfist for arguably years. Like, who knows how far back they've been thinking about the design of this character. And I think that he was probably thought of as a big counter to the triple tank meta that we were in. But the development takes so long from that they probably didn't think about dive meta. They probably didn't even foresee that happening. And now I think he's just going to complement it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the meta.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to see. I think between Genji's deflect, the range on his ammo, and the fact that he is so infinitely mobile, I think something Doomfist doesn't really have a way to protect himself except for do more damage. And I think if you set up your composition to do less damage, I think it makes Doomfist less effective. And so we'll have to see for sure. We'll definitely have to see. At the same time, you guys, if you've been listening to the show, you know I don't like to hop on the bandwagon of what everyone else is saying right away.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else said, like, when Orisa came out, the first thing that people were saying, us included, was, wow, her damage is so high.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, yeah, if you're shooting training bots in the head while they're standing still, absolutely they're high. But there's just a lot of interesting combinations. Like, there are some heroes that definitely do better. Again, like Pharah. Pharah is amazing against Doomfist. Like,
oh yeah,
Doomfist,
and I think Sombra is going to be a huge because you hack a Doomfist and he's just a sitting meat shield. I think that it's really cool. I think that this. I honestly think that he might have a higher skill cap. This could be me jumping the gun. I think that he might have either an equivalent to Genji's skill cap. The skill ceiling for Doomfist is going to be really, really high. And I think that it will either rival or even beat Genji's skill cap. Because if you haven't seen this character, just imagine a character from Mortal Kombat being put into Overwatch. Watching this character and watching people talk about balancing his combos and all of, and the cooldowns and everything, that's seriously what it reminds me of. And I think that it's really cool for them to add another skill cap character like this. It's just, if you're looking for an easy hero to play, don't get really mad and cry that Doomfist isn't all of that if you're picking up Doomfist and you can't really do anything, because I think if you give it a few weeks and a couple of months, you're going to see Doomfist terrorizing competitive play and tournament play, because people are going to take the time to figure out how to play him and how to optimize him and effectively use him, and I think it's going to be nuts.
I'm another tempered expectation person when it comes to this. I think we're going to see his usage somewhere between Sombra and Ana in the current meta. Like, Ana isn't really seen much at all, but it really isn't a bad pick. No one ever goes, boo, Ana, unless you're like in tournaments or something like that. But at the same time, like, not as niche as Sombra, where it's only like only on 2CP and only on defense does this work. I think he's more of a hero synergy hero rather than a map synergy hero. And so we'll have to see, though. Like, that's it. We honestly have talked for 50 minutes about Doomfist, which we kind of expected. That's the one thing we need to talk about before we move on is this idea of combos. I said it earlier. So this is pretty cool. What Doomfist can do is with his rising uppercut, he can then go into a seismic slam right after. And so basically you'll get a little triangle, a little wedge that shows up after you uppercut into the air. You'll kind of be floating there for a second. Again, think about like Genji's jump where you kind of double jump up. You're kind of floating there for a second. And then you'll have a wedge, and that will tell you kind of where you land and where you do the damage, which introduces a whole different type of play, which is, you know, this kind of combo style. World of Warcraft fans who play Rogue, you'll love this because it's kind of this combo-y style type of thing. So yeah, thought it was pretty cool. I think it's shift And then E, which is typically right bumper, left bumper. Anyways, for console players. But yeah, so that's it for Doomstick. Doomstick. Good old Doomstick. Doomfist. That's going to do it for Doomfist. For our preview, obviously, we will play him more on the PTR. Take a look at other pro streams, see how he's being utilized. Right now, it's very much just the wild, wild west when it comes from Doomfist. Nobody's playing him right. No one's playing him optimized. People are overvaluing some abilities, undervaluing others. Same thing with like Ana or Genji. People were like, do you remember when Ana first came out and people were like, ooh, bile grenade, big deal. And now it's like,
yep.
That's like the thing.
I'm actually, I'm really, really excited. I'm more excited for the future to see like the different kind of combos and the different kind of ways that people are going to play Doomfist than I am for his release now. Like I'm impatient already waiting to see how he's played in tournaments because it's like the new map on the Horizon Colony. I don't think people have figured out how to play it yet. So we're still kind of, and the same thing happened with Sombra. People didn't really know how to play her. People didn't know how to play Ana. Everybody was like, oh, Ana's an awful healer, da 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 da. And give it a couple months, and then she's all of a sudden so freaking overpowered that she can't not be played. So, and then Sombra, now she's been played a lot on attack and offense, or attack and defense for double CP. And then I think the new map will be next. People will slowly start to figure out the new map. And then I think Doomfist will be next. And I'm really, really excited to see the future of Doomfist and how he's played and how much it'll shake things up.
Totally. So this now sums up, I believe we've gotten three maps and two heroes out of six maps and three heroes. So we're over halfway there for the heroes and halfway there for the maps. So we'll keep it going. I'm guessing they're going to keep at least two maps and the hero for BlizzCon. Maybe we get another map from then until now. So, all right. That's it for Doomfist. We've got a few other things to talk about in Overwatch land. This one, Overwatch Esports. This is exciting. This is exciting news. So, Blizzard, this just came out literally an hour and a half before the show started. Blizzard has secured six agreements, including Robert Kraft of the New England, the owner of the New England Patriots, and Fred Wilpon of Wilpon of the New York Mets. Owner of the New York Mets for Overwatch League. The locations include LA, San Francisco, New York, Boston, Shanghai, and Seoul. And it is all but confirmed that NRG Esports will be the San Francisco location and Immortals will be the LA location. And that it was secured, these spots were secured for $20 million. That are to be paid over time. We don't know specifically the prices for Kraft and Wilpon groups, but that's what's being. This was broke by ESPN Esports. Normally, like if it was some kind of weird obscure site, we might use a little bit more. Let's wait and see and wait for an official source. But this is coming from ESPN Esports, so we thought it was worthy to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Rosh, we're getting close. We're getting really close to Overwatch League here. This feels like a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, because before we had like kind of rumors and people were saying, you know, don't necessarily believe the 20 million thing, da da da. But now we're getting confirmations of the deals and the cities. And it. While I don't think the hype, I think the hype was kind of escalated with the Overwatch scouting reports that they sent out. It's not quite here yet. So I'm not like super, super excited, like it's right around the corner yet, but it is cool to see some confirmations coming out. And I think that they're coming out in a good pace. Like I think whatever Blizzard is doing with releasing the agreement plans, Overwatch League scouting reports, the Contenders series, I think it's all at a good pace and it makes me excited for Overwatch League itself. So
yeah,
and it's good news.
It hopefully is confirmation too for people who are on the fence of like,
yeah,
you know, Blizzard is going after the whales. Are they going to get the whales? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when you've got big big names like the Kraft family, the owner of the New York Mets, willing to put in $20 million.
Yeah.
League
one
of
thing
Legends,
that was pretty cool.
League of Legends, $1.5 million, I believe, was the last spot to go into their kind of semi-comparable league. So $20 million, even if it's over time, that's huge.
But yeah, and that's what I was just about to comment, the fact that it's over time. That's still a big deal. Granted, League of Legends doesn't have backings like the sports teams that we're seeing. So that's pretty cool that the hype is real enough that, you know, the New England Patriots are showing interest and the New York Mets and all of these great esports teams. I think that's a great sign for it. And it's pretty cool. But don't let the overtime make it seem more minimal than it is, smaller than it is. It's still a pretty big deal. So it's still a lot of hype to live up to. But as so far what we've seen, it's making me a little more confident in how Blizzard is handling things. And I'm becoming more and more assured that it's on the right pace. In the end, we'll see. But so far, it looks good. Hopefully it continues that way.
Yeah. And what do you think about Immortals and NRG being the two teams that are
NRG,
kind of confirmed?
NRG kind of surprises me. Immortals doesn't, because Immortals has had a solid line, a solid game presence, a solid skill for a long time. Immortals doesn't surprise me. I'm not sure if Envious will be. I know that we weren't talking about this. I'm not sure if Envious is going to. Are they going to be a part of it? I mean, they're so big, and Korea is. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Envious as one of the main teams, but I'm surprised that NRG is one of the others. I think NRG is more so because of Shaq's presence that they're one of like the main names that have already been released. But other than that, I kind of don't know why they are one of the solidified teams that have come out with this agreement. It kind of baffles me. I'm not sure why, because especially if you compare them to Immortals, they're two completely different teams. So I'm not really sure why, but it's interesting.
I definitely, like, I get what you're saying. In results, NRG is nothing compared to Immortals, but in checkbooks and cash.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
NRG,
they're
like,
there. Yeah.
They're going, NRG
and I think
are, going
that's
to
why.
Put, are going to foot the best. Like, they're the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees don't win the World Series. In fact, they've had some really crappy years with some of the highest salaried players overall. NRG are kind of very similar, if I had to draw the analogy to that, in the sense that they're willing to throw a lot of money at this thing to have their name on that team. But,
and I 100% think that's why they're one of the names that were released.
$20 million is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. I think it makes sense. I think we'll know more like once like Rogue, right? Like what about Rogue? Rogue is Las Vegas, right?
I think they actually just moved to Las Vegas. So I'm surprised that they haven't come out on the agreement, especially with this move, because it seems kind of like, if Rogue's going to move anywhere, why would they move in the middle of Overwatch League going unless they had secured that Las Vegas position? So
Denver.
Maybe they're still working on the agreements and everything like that, and they just don't want it publicly released. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure Rogue will be Las Vegas, and I'm pretty sure Envious is going to have a team. They might just be so caught up in Apex and Korea right now that they haven't really sat down to, you know, get everything situated. But it's definitely interesting. Yeah. I'm excited to see the teams that come out.
And these are all from sources. When ESPN reached out to these teams, to Blizzard and like the Kraft family and stuff, everyone declined to comment or didn't reply at all yet. And again, this is only a couple hours old. So, you know, take that for what you will here. But it's pretty likely, like you said, that even if it's not Envious, the chances of that roster not going into Overwatch League is zero.
Yeah.
It's zero. So that's what's going on in Overwatch League. That's some pretty big news. You know what, Rosh? I don't think we got time for this other stuff. I don't think we do. Let's talk a little bit about Overwatch World Cup, because that is starting this weekend. We do have the first bit on the Overwatch World Cup. It starts July 14th, which is this weekend, the 14th through 16th. It's the Shanghai group stage. And in this group stage, we have teams Thailand, China, Hong Kong, Norway, Romania, France, Denmark, and Argentina. So, obviously, France.
Yeah, I was gonna say France.
France. What's your take here? Who are you? Are you liking now? In Group A, you have China, Hong Kong, Norway, and Romania. Group B, you have France, Denmark, Thailand, and Argentina.
Group B seems kind of simple for me. I'm gonna go with France because ATK and I just totally lost his name. Now I have to pull it back up. I really want to remember his name without thinking about it. You know when you like have those ideas pop in your head,
France?
You
still so.
Yeah, I'm talking about France.
France Unko. Is rogue. Yeah, yeah. So it's yeah, the whole rogue Unko, squad.
Yeah, yeah. And I think France is between AKM and Unko, and just how well overall Rogue has performed. I think it's just crazy not to go with France. But for Group A, I don't know. You choose and I'll go against you. That way one of us wins and one of us loses. Okay. Group A seems kind of I think it'll be between China and Hong Kong.
Sure. So Group B, I have France in first, Denmark in second. I think both of those make sense. And that'll go into the semifinals there. So on team, what I wanted to look at again was Norway and Romania. Norway, you have Envision, Ico, Decode, Onigod, IPN, and Traub. On Team Romania, you have Meza, Rank No Moja, Emka, ML7, Sema. Like, and just based on, and this is where I kind of suck. Based on the names, I'm going to say, dang.
I know. It's just, I don't really know that much about Group A. I don't know that much about the teams in Group A. It's hard.
I'm going to say China. And I think China and Norway. I think actually Norway wins. So they take the higher seed. But I'm going to say China and Norway walk out of that.
I'm going to say China and Hong Kong. So...
All right.
I think China walks out of that.
The big thing, one thing I would note about Team Thailand is you do have everyone's favorite diva main, Mickey, on on Thailand. They've got some pretty good players. I wish we could have, we're working on getting Jamerson on the show for this week. Jamerson knows the APAC scene so well. He'd be able to oh yeah, this. And he'd be like, this is the easiest thing in the world. For us, it's a little bit harder. So give us grace. But that is going on this weekend. July 14th is when it starts. $72,000 up for grabs here. So, and then keep in mind, this is going to be going over the next couple of months. We have the Shanghai group stage this weekend, the Sydney group stage next weekend. 2 weeks after that, we have the Katowice or Katowice, depending on if you're European or not, on how you pronounce that. August 4th through 6th, August 11th through 13th, you have the Burbank group stage. And then, of course, November 3rd and 4th, you have the BlizzCon playoffs themselves. So this is going to be going on here basically from now until the second week of August. And, of course, at BlizzCon. So keep in mind or keep in tuned in there. And of course, we'll be updating you every week as everything progresses. But
time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
It's time to get out of here. So we wanted to have a good conversation about, there's been a lot of panic about Overwatch in South Korea, and how some teams are hesitant to invest because of the slow, staling meta that's going on in competitive Overwatch. We're gonna have a more honest conversation about what that might be, how Blizzard can fix it, and if what we're seeing now from Blizzard from balance is indicative of what we should expect to see once we have more consistent competitive games going on. So keep in mind, we'll probably table that for next week, I would say. Seems to make sense. So anyways, thank you guys for hanging out with us this week. Hope you really enjoyed the show. Of course, if you've got questions, comments, ideas for segments, whatever for the show, send us an email to thepayload@blizzbro.com. We would love to hear from you. Next, we do want to thank our Grandmaster supporters, Shadow, J.A., Krell, Liam O., Stuart J., Leung Z., Jacob S., and Adam W. Thank you so much for your support of the show. And this week, we do want to welcome Belial to the Patreon. Thanks so much for your support, Belial. We hope to see you all tomorrow for our game night. Tomorrow, Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific time at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. Anything going on in iTunes land, Rush?
We do not have any new 5-star iTunes reviews this week. If you would like to show support for the show in other ways than the Patreon, you can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts. 5-star reviews are incredibly easy to leave. I get to say your incredibly, hopefully easy name on the stream, and they support us out in an immense way. So thank you for everyone who has left them. Again, if you have not done so, you can do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's do some shout outs for the week. And where can people find you, Rosh? You're up.
You can find me at twitter.com/f2k_okayitsrosh. You can also find me at twitch.tv/okayitsrosh. Again, I'm playing a lot of games with viewers, so if you ever want to stop by and you want to maybe play some ranked, I'm normally always playing with viewers at this point. And shout out to everybody who has supported the podcast and supported our individual streams and joined us on Discord and helped with the amazing conversations we have there. I know I appreciate you. Jimmy isn't here to say it himself, but I know that he appreciates you. And I'm sure John appreciates you a little bit, but we appreciate you more so.
Dang. Thank you. That's gold. That's gold. Well, shout outs for me. Shout outs to Tim the Tap Man. I know he listens to the show.
He's a personal friend of the Payload Podcast.
My good friend. but seriously, everybody who's come out on this stream this past week, it's been an awesome, awesome time. Make sure to come hang out. twitch.tv/kicktripod. Follow me on Twitter @kicktripod. Or you know what? Just go to kicktripod.com. You can find links to everything right there. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out for episode number 74. Again, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Send us your emails at thepaylordblizzbro.com, patreon.com/payloadpodcast. All that good stuff. We'll see you next week for episode 75 and hopefully tomorrow for our patron game night. Thanks so much. Have an awesome evening. Talk to you soon.